I know what you're thinking. Yes, the tattoos on my feet are relatively new, within the last few months. I cannot tell you the last time I've worn a onesie or something that zips in the back, but all I can say is the people at Whitewater get me, and they know my love of cats, which if you're up close, these are kittens or cats. And they know my love of cats, and they know my love of really bright clothing that's the opposite of black, I guess. That would be really good, too. And my love of Christmas and lights. So all I can say is thank you, Watkins family. Thank you. They presented this to me after I had a talk with Luke Burgess. Luke Burgess, stand up, man. Show off what you got, too, man. And he was showing me this sweater. Come on, show the lights. Come on. No, you're not getting out that easy, dude. Show the lights. It took him 5 minutes. Yes, see? So I made the mistake of telling Luke how much I like this sweater, and Kevin said, oh, we got to get him this now. We got to get him this gift now. So for those of you that already have bought this for me, you need to return it because it's already done, all right? Welcome to Whitewater. I'm Adam Coop. I'm one of the pastors here. And speaking of onesies and being barefoot, I feel like a child. And I act like one. But you know what? Jesus in Matthew 18 says that's not a bad thing. Jesus says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom? He called a child whom he put among them. And he said, truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. That's a curious statement. Until you change, and he's not talking about going and throwing on a onesie and being barefoot. Heart change. Humility. Children having complete faith in their parents that they're actually going to take care of them and feed them, clothe them, love them, be there when they get home from school. Be there to do good things for them. Be there to help correct and rebuke when they're there. And have nothing but complete, 100% faith that these things are going to happen. I watch it time and time again with my kids. Yesterday, they woke up at 11-something and said, Dad, what's for lunch? They had faith that I was making something. And not only making something, but I was going to make them something okay and good. And that's still happening at 15 years old. That's still happening at 11 years old. And today's topic actually is faith. Interesting. Today's topic is actually Jesus is a hard act to follow. Let me read some stuff to you. Can I do that? This is also in the Advent calendar. We're celebrating joy this morning. Okay? And joy is the joy that the shepherds received at hearing the news of Christ's birth. Excitement. Shepherds probably didn't even know what the heck was going on. They don't know who Jesus is. They don't know what's happening. They're not anticipating a miraculous visit. And all of a sudden, someone comes and says, Jesus is born. You need to go. You need to celebrate this. You need to go be with him. Huge. By faith, they took off. By faith, they took this joy of this strange news and took off and went and told the world, went and saw Jesus, went and was a part of everything that was going on by faith. Doesn't have to make sense all the time, but we're celebrating joy today. In Hebrews 11, 1 through 40, I'm going to kind of go backwards into the scripture again like what we did a couple weeks ago. We're going to start with 11 and we're going to read 40 verses. You ready? I can read this at home. Yeah, but you don't. So that's why you're here, and I'm going to read it to you. Oh, that's true. Okay, here we go. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in the days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. It was Abraham's faith. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going, and when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner, living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. It was by faith that even Sarah, Abraham's wife, was able to have a child, though she was barren and was told she was too old. She believed that God would keep his promise. And so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead. That's funny, he was old, so they say as good as dead. People get upset when I use the word elderly. I'm just going to start using, you're as good as dead. Side note, rabbit trail, here we go. Even though he's as good as dead, a nation with so many people that like the stars in the sky and the sand and on the seashore, there is no way to count them. All these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, even though God had told him, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. It was by faith that Isaac promised blessings for the future to his sons, Jacob and Esau. It was by faith that Jacob, when he was old and dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and bowed in worship as he leaned on his staff. It was by faith that Joseph, when he was about to die, said confidently that the people of Israel would leave Egypt. He even commanded them to take his bones with them when they left. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. They saw that God had given them an unusual child, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's command. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasure of sin. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt. For he was looking ahead with his great reward, and it was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. It was by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and sprinkle blood on the doorposts so that the angel of death would not kill their firstborn sons. It was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea as though they were on dry ground, but when the Egyptians tried to follow, they were all drowned. It was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days and the walls came crashing down. It was by faith that Rahab the prostitute was not destroyed with all the people in her city who refused to obey God, for she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. How much more do I need to say? The Hebrews writer says. It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By all faith, all these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death. But others were tortured, refusing to turn to God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half, and others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All of these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God has something better in mind for us, so that they would not reach perfection without us. Did you guys catch the common word that was being thrown out? Oh, that was a good question. No. Any other guesses? Yeah, it was faith. Yeah, it was right. Nailed it. Faith. This kind of undescribable thing. Faith. My wife and I were sitting on the couch, discussing some things in our world that require faith, some current events, and talking about prayer, and having a talk about, you know, what actually is prayer? What does it do? Does it do any good? This was just this week. Your pastor, in cat pajamas, and his wife, discussing what does that look like. And having questions about our own faith and whether it's legit, whether it's just foolishness, whether it's just coincidence, whether it's just our will making things happen regardless of God, then that brings up questions of God. Who is God? What is He? Is He legit? It was an interesting time, and it still is. It still is. No, I'm not discounting my faith. I'm not saying that we have stopped believing in Jesus. You don't have to fire me after today, okay? We've got to find a guy that believes, right? But it's something that we started to question when we started bumping up into things in our world. And it's something that I've questioned often. Has anybody else done that same thing? Or you guys just buy it, hook, line, and sinker? Yeah? So we start bumping into these things. We start looking at these things, and then in those moments, you've heard us talk about the word standing stones, right? I start recounting history just like the Hebrew writer did. Here's these people that have walked before us. The promises weren't even fulfilled for some of them. They didn't even come to fruition for some of these people, and they still believed. They still saw God as good. They still saw God as right. And so I start walking back in my own faith journey saying, okay, God, where are you in this? Where are these standing stones in my world? There's a lot of them, believe it or not. There's a lot of them. Just within the last 11 years, by faith, the Coop family moved to Laramie, Wyoming, a place they had only visited once, twice maybe, rented an apartment, raised $45,000 in 2 weeks, moved to a place that we've never been and started a church with some other people because God called us to it. We did that not knowing that it would end up like this. Right? Some of you have been with us forever and you understand when I say these things. We didn't know it'd end up like this. And if I would have saw the whole picture of what this 11 years would look like, and I would see the hardships and the trials, if I would look at everything that I've had to endure here, I probably would have said, I'm okay. I'm going to stay here because it's safe. It's good. I'm comfortable. By faith, 11 years ago, we come here and we start a church. Knew nothing about starting a church, knew nothing about being a pastor. In fact, I'm still just beginning to learn what that looks like 11 years later. By faith, 2 years into our ministry, here God speaks, says you need to open your own business here in this town. We say that's impossible. We start having conversations with people. And God provided all of the resources, all of the manpower, all of the clientele for the business that we have by faith. And we struggled in that faith walk then because it was like, well, I don't know about this. We're not going to do this. We're not going to live this way. We're not going to be these people. We're not going to do what God says because it's too big. What God is asking is too big of us. There's a phrase that says, God is always working upstream. So by the time it trickles down to us downstream, he's already paved the way. He's already making things work. He's already making the arrangements for everything that he's asking you to do. And he's not going to leave you high and dry. He's at the helm of all of it. So we entertain God's funny idea of owning a business and watched him just open the gates and kick us through it again, yet again, just like he did when we helped launch Whitewater. A couple years after that, or actually it was in during that time, God told us by faith that we needed to step down and take half salary at the church. I was already raking it in. I was wearing cat pajamas on the regular. Money was no object. And I worked full-time for $15,000. Some of you understand what that's like today. Some of you know what that feels like. But my wife and I heard at the very same time that we needed to take the hit to pave the way and help the other pastoral staff that was on staff at that point because they had a family of 6 kids. I continually asked them if they understood how sex worked and kids and things, you know, because that just seemed outrageous to me. But God called us to do that. We heard at the same time, and not only did we hear at the same time, he said, and it has to be now, starting now. Don't wait for next month. Don't wait for 2 months. Don't wait for next year. Do it now. We stepped down, we stepped back and said, okay, by faith. By faith, we watched our lifestyle change. We had to make a lot of different choices. Some of the comforts that we had, we didn't have anymore. Or they were severely reduced. We got down to our last dollar. Our son needed lunch meat because he hated school lunches. He always wanted a packed lunch. And I went to Walmart and I bought a package of budding ham, or 2 packages. I think they were like 33 cents each or something. I don't remember what it was. I bought a dollar's worth of lunch meat. And if you've had that budding lunch meat, it all tastes the same. Whether you eat turkey, beef, or chicken, it doesn't really matter. It all tastes exactly the same. It's from the same animal, I think. Somehow they've created the magic hybrid animal of these. And I go and I spend our last dollar that we had to spend on lunch meat. And I come home, and about 45 minutes later, there's a knock on the door, and there's nobody at the door, and there is groceries on our doorstep. Not because we asked, not because we said this is a need for us, but God knew. God provided. So I have to start walking back. So then we, several years later, by faith, this very church that we were called to start, we're sitting in an elders meeting and we're looking at the budget and we're looking at giving. Cindy, you did such a great job with the giving message. Your vision casting for what you see just blew me away. I actually bawled the entire time. It's a weird day. I think it's these pajamas. During worship, during Cindy's message, just But giving was an issue, okay? And the space that we were in was an issue. By faith, we said, how do we die well? Because that's as far as our leadership eyes could see. Well, we're tanking. We're going out. Let's go out with a bang. God intervenes. God steps in. God says you need to chase down 21 different properties within town. We come to the Griffin. I think it was the 21st property that we stopped at. And they handed us our dream list and then some. And we moved in 6 years ago Christmas week, like 2 days before Christmas Eve, and we had a Christmas Eve service on this stage. And I remember coming and sitting in here, pitch black. We had the keys. Our offices weren't even set up yet because we had to paint. I'm a big advocate of painting and not just moving in. I cannot stand somebody else's colors, okay? Right? My office is almost black for any of you that need to know, you know, or want to know. And I came in here and I wept. Because we had our own facility, we had our own space, we had our own place that was 24/7 access to us. And it felt like moving backwards a little bit. And I looked at all these empty seats and I said, you know, at that population that we had at that point, it dwarfed us even more than it does now here. And I said, God, I don't understand it. I don't get it. He said, just be faithful to what I've called you to. That is the most comforting words I can ever hear. Just be faithful to what I've called you to. He doesn't tell me it's going to be okay because I'm going to do X, Y, Z. Right? He doesn't tell me everything's going to be okay. He doesn't even tell me that the promises that he's promised me are going to be fulfilled in my lifetime. That I'll see them. I'm emotional now. That I'll experience them. And that drives me nuts. That drives me up a wall. I want to see what's coming. I want to know what I can fight. I want to know and see what I can hit if I can make an impact. And I find more times than not, God doesn't work that way. He knows what's going on. He sees all of it. So by faith, we move in here. By faith, we begin to thrive. By faith, we begin to live worry-free financially as a church. To some extent, not all, okay? By faith, God continues to call us into bigger and better things. When you're a church that goes through almost a death, and then you move to readjust and try to figure things out, there becomes a point where you just be in maintenance mode. By faith, we maintained. By faith, we stayed the course. By faith, that began to wear on us as leadership, saying, now what? What do we do? We don't have vision. We had vision to survive. We had vision to thrive. We had vision to be here. We had vision, God's vision, that Whitewater was important to this community. Not just this community, but the community of Laramie. And we didn't know what to do. So by faith, God drops my friend Andrew in our lap, and he begins this God Dreams training with us and our crew here. And he births a vision from a year ago, 2 years ago now, until 2025. And it's a God dream. That's why it's called God Dreams. It's big. And by faith, it requires us stepping out and trying to push you, trying to push us harder into the things that God is calling us into. Who God is calling us to be. How God is calling us to be. And some of you have experienced it and felt it and didn't like the push. Don't like the push. Buck against the push. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to be a part of that. But God bless you for you doing it. I'll still be here. Being dead weight. So by faith, we begin to lead out in this. By faith, we begin to take God at his word. Here's my dream for you. And there's stuff on that list that I'm like, there is no way this is going to happen by 2025. Does it make it any less of a God call? Is 2025 the actual date that God set? Or is Whitewater going to live beyond that? Is Whitewater going to go beyond that? Is Whitewater going to see life change happen slowly, as we've seen with so many of us? You, me. For some of us, man, we are just stepping out now, and you have been with us for years. And by faith, I celebrate that. By faith, that is a win. By faith, that is not loss in my world. And I know when you start scratching that surface of what God's been calling at you for years, and you start scratching that surface, God's going to blow your mind by faith. Let's keep reading. Let's move backwards here. And so, in chapter 10 of Hebrews 19 through 39, it says this, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. As a child, God, you're going to take care of me. God, you will feed me lunch. I know that there's going to be a good lunch. It's going to have Cheetos, puffy, not crunchy. Fight me outside if you want to, all right? It's going to have Cheetos. It's going to have fried bologna. I don't even eat this stuff, all right? But that childlike faith. Let's enter in to the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him, for our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. And our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to hope, to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise." Hear that, church. God can be trusted to keep his promise. "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and do good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Dear friends, if we deliberately continue sinning after we have received knowledge of the truth, there is no longer any sacrifice that will cover these sins. There is only the terrible expectation of God's judgment and the raging fire that will consume his enemies. For anyone who refused to obey the law of Moses was put to death without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Just think how much worse the punishment will be for those who have been trampled on, who have trampled on the Son of God and have treated the blood of the covenant, which made us holy, as if it were common and unholy, and have insulted and disdained the Holy Spirit who brings God's mercy to us. For we know that the one who said, I will take revenge, I will pay them back. He also said, the Lord will judge his own people. It is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful, even though it meant terrible suffering. Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten, and sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same things. You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail, and when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. You knew there were better things waiting for you at last, for that will last forever. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay. And my righteous ones will live by faith. But I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away, but we are like not like those who turn away from God and their own destruction. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. That is what by faith produces in you. That is what by faith living and life and the sacrifice that Jesus gave so freely grants you, grants us, grants the world around us, grants your most hated family member, grants your most troubled coworker that you have the biggest problem with. This promise, these promises that we cling to by faith. The song that you heard playing during communion was by Citizens. I don't know if you've heard of their music. We pretty much do their entire catalog here. But the verse says this in verse 1. It says, I'm stepping out into the great unknown, walking on waters with my eyes transfixed upon a hope. And if you know anything about our God dreams, there's a boat that people are leaving. It looks like bacon water. And some of you might be more excited about walking on bacon than walking on water. But it's got a boat. And we've not encouraged people to get out or to stay in the boat in safety. We've encouraged people to get out of the boat, to go where God is calling us. Get out. Go on the water. That's where God is found. One of the phrases is God and I were at odds one day. I was walking down the street to my office, back to my home, and I was not pleased with how God was doing things in my world. I thought he should have done things my way. Anybody? Would make things a whole lot easier, be a whole lot less messy. And I remember telling God, I said, God, I feel like I've given you everything. At first, I was out in the water, and it felt like I was looking at shore, and I was okay with that because I could see shore. I could swim back. My own strength. I knew, yes, I can do. I can get back there. And the further into this ministry you've called us, the further into faith that you've called myself and my family, I feel like I have just drifted out to sea. And I'm just treading water. And I'm tired. And I don't see a way to get safety. I don't see a way to crawl back to the way things used to be in my world. And God said, you're home. Then. This is where I need you. You're out here treading water. You're out here bitching about this life that you can't go back to. You're out here looking for everything but me. And Adam, I'm out here in the water. And he asked me a question, is that okay with you? Is that enough for you? I think I used some expletives, called him a few names, and then just killed the communication. God, leave me be. Let me gripe. But he was right. You don't see safety, and that discomforts you. But you're also not looking at my promises that I've already given you. You're not looking at the things that I've already said are going to happen in your world. You're not looking at the things. You're going even back to the standing stones of the miraculous that I've done in your world. You're looking at all these future things and being upset because you don't see the full picture. Are you comfortable with just being here with me? Will that be enough for you? I'm stepping out into the great unknown, walking on waters with my eyes transfixed upon a hope. I'm putting faith in someone I can't see. The God invisible has shown me grace beyond belief. And the pre-chorus says, this is the promise of my hope. that I am loved as one of his own. Receive it. Believe and you'll know. That's the message. Friends, if you have not made this commitment, you don't have to see every angle. I'm telling you, as a Christ follower for the majority of my life, it ain't going to happen for you. Good luck. I've banged my head on the wall with God so many times. I was talking with Neil Larson. He was asking me about some fasting that I did. I did 2 40-day fasts in a year's time. Food wasn't a part of those fasts. There was some water involved and some juice when I could not function after the 22nd day. And he said, why did you do those so close to each other? Why did you? And I said, Neil, because I'm stupid. I kept banging my head on the wall, asking the same question, wanting God to bless this, wanting God to do this, wanting God to move. And I thought maybe if I fasted long enough, God would do what I wanted him to do. Anybody try to control God? And all I had to believe was the promise of my hope that I am loved by God, by Jesus, who made this incredible sacrifice. All I need to do is receive that, believe that. And anything else that follows, that's just the icing on the cake. Any other thing that he brings to my door, whatever the next 11 years looks like for myself and my family and this ministry, or whatever happens, I got a God who died for me. I got a God who's interested in my life. I got a God who speaks into my world. I got a God who cares about the things that I do or do not do. I've got a God who cares about the people in my immediate sphere of influence. And he's asking me to just believe it, receive it, know it, operate in that. And that should be enough. Chorus goes on to say, faith is true sight. See with new eyes, taste of his life. Faith is true sight. Verse 2 says, and though I'm aching from the burns of fire, and Jesus doesn't promise a pain-free life. Spoiler alert. Okay? I know the day is coming soon when life is without trial. That's the other side of heaven. I'm putting confidence in things unseen with full assurance that to lose my life is not defeat. The kingdom's kind of backwards. Jesus' way is backwards. Someone hits you, turn the other cheek, right? Give money. Give away everything that you have to people in need, and I'm going to take care of you. That doesn't sound like America, does it? Stockpile that stuff, right? Love people that hate you. Die for the cause. Putting confidence in things unseen, that with full assurance that to lose my life is not defeat, it's actually a win. This is the promise of my hope, that I am loved as one of his own. Receive it. Believe and you'll know. So God, I pray for that right now. Your spirit, heavy in this place today, it has been since music started playing. God is just weighing heavy on our hearts. No matter where we're at in this Christian walk, no matter where we're at in this life, whether we've claimed you for a long time and have just been inactive and don't really care now, God, whether we're just on fire for you and moving and just being a witness to everything that you are in our world, God, lay heavy on our hearts. For those of us that continue to dance around who you are, why you are, I don't get God, I don't get Jesus, I don't have, God, speak loud. Some of us, you've been speaking loud this whole time. And we refuse to give you that place. We refuse to give you that credit. God, break us down. Let us move in faith. Let us trust in faith. Let us look back on our standing stones in faith of where you've spoken prior. God, let us look forward as to it doesn't matter where we end up as long as you're there in faith. This is the promise of our hope, that we are loved as one of his own. God, may we receive it, believe and know that you are God by faith. It's in your precious name we pray. And everybody said, amen. There's awesome stuff going on here, folks. We know the Christmas season is here. And we're praying for you that you can enjoy your families. It's taken some crazy medical illnesses in my family to see my family is more precious. There's always been love there. There's always been good relationship. But it's been weird that I have not viewed them with such love and care as I do now because of those things. So I'm praying the same for you, that it doesn't take major medical illness for you to be reconciled with your family. And if reconciliation is hard, I get it, yeah. But I pray that God allows you glimpses of them that you can just see and love and latch on to and see them as he sees them during this time. And, oh, forgot to tell you, we raised $2,400 for Laramie Youth Crisis Center and Extended Family Services. So the concert was awesome. If you didn't show up, you suck, okay? But if you were here, I hope you had a great time. And this is what we're going to continue to do in years in the future here. And it has just been an awesome tool to love people as Jesus loved people. And the thing is we always want to try to control how this operation goes, and we always want to like say, well, God, you should move this way, or if we change this or tweak this or do that. It's constantly under review, but man, God moved in incredible ways that night through the hearts of us, through the hearts of you, and I was proud of you as a pastor to see you guys show up and support and to be and to serve and to love and to just party with us. It was awesome, so thank you. That's sermon number 6. I'm done, okay? Cat pajamas out. Grace and peace.